Mentioned this is the last of the series that I started some time back, and sometimes there's a need where you have to put off a sermon because, much like what is stated in Jude, the third verse, brethren, I wanted to write to you about our common salvation, but I found it needful to write to you to contend earnestly for the faith. So there's sometimes you don't get to bring a sermon you want that you're planning on, and times where you need to be preaching something else. And because of those needs and it just happening right now on Sunday morning, I decided to do this on Sunday afternoon, and for the reasons that I just gave you, we're going to finish up this series. We're going to be talking about singing. And this series has been entitled, What Does It Mean to You in Connection with Worship? And we've gone through all of the elements of worship, and the last one that we have this afternoon is discussing, what does the singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs mean to you? Is it, as a leader, is it a chance for you to perform? And someone might say, well, that's really foolish to think that. I was in a congregation one time where there was a member of that congregation that the only time that he would come is when he was scheduled to lead singing. And if he wasn't leading singing, he was not going to be there. And he pretty well made that clear and had to be dealt with in that situation. Singing is not about performing. Is it just entertainment to be heard? Are there those here that will not be joining in song because they just want to sit back and listen and that's their entertainment for being here? It's not entertainment. Is it an opportunity for the rest of you, excluding myself, to show off your beautiful voices? And then we have some beautiful voices in this congregation. It's not about that. All these series of lessons really have gone back to the point of true worship and really what true worship means to us. And consider, we have at least only one record of Jesus singing songs. And I'll just make this point right now concerning that. And wherever you look over in Matthew, the 26th chapter and verse 30, Jesus had just instituted his supper with his disciples, and it says in verse 30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out of the Mount of Olives, and that lets us know that our Lord sang hymns also, sang songs also. And I'm going to say that there is, because of this verse, an aspect of the therapeutic nature of singing, and I'm talking about spiritual therapeutic nature of singing. Our Lord was about to face his death, and he knew exactly what sort of death he was going to face. Because he, being the Word, had prophesied of it through men. And he knew what was going to take place to him, and he found comfort, I believe, in singing that song before he went to his death. Moses sang three songs that are recorded, one in Exodus, the 15th chapter, one in about the crossing of the Red Sea, the deliverance from bondage. One in the 90th psalm that is referred to by the psalmist in connection with the prayer that Moses had given. And then in the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, near the end of the life that he had here upon this earth and not being allowed to pass into the promised land, he sang three songs. There are others that sang songs also. We see Deborah, Barak, others that sing songs also about the situation and conditions that were taking place in their life. Our singing is for the same purposes as those of old. We are to lift our voices in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And we understand this very clearly as Brother Jonathan is going to be turning over to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and he's going to be looking at verses 18 through 24 in just a moment. But the very same purposes that they sang songs back then is the very reason we sing songs today. And we'll break that down in just a moment. Jonathan, go ahead and read verses 18 through 20, Ephesians 5 for us, if you would, sir.
Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another. I looked away. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The reason that there was the singing of songs back then and there's the singing of the songs now is that element of expression, and especially in connection with that which will glorify God and give praise unto Him. Thanksgiving unto God, thanks for all that we have, and an edification, upbuilding, whereby words that are written in these songs build us up as children of God. We're going to be looking over in Colossians, the third chapter, verses 16 and 17, which is a companion passage. And Troy, would you turn there, Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17, and see and tell us what Paul wrote there, please.
16 and 17?
Yes, sir.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
And there we have the companion verse, Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Paul doesn't teach something contradictory in connection with the singing of these praises unto God. And these praises unto God, songs unto God, are given to us in both of these particular passages of three types of songs that are mentioned. First of all, there is the psalm. And a psalm can be either a hymn or a spiritual song. But a psalm, wherever we sing that song directly, and I'm talking about word for word as written in the Word, in the Bible, we are singing that which is absolutely inspired. As we're going to see in just a moment, not all hymns are inspired, even though they have a spiritual undertone to them, a spiritual thought, teaching that is there, but it's still from the mind of man, and the same thing with a hymn. But a psalm, where we sing a song, as we're going to be singing here in just a moment, if we sing the words of that psalm, we are singing that which is inspired from God, because we are singing that which is written down. When we look at that word psalm, or psalmos in the Greek, it was originally a song accompanied by stringed instruments. And Vincent says this, the idea of accompaniment, that is, with stringed instruments or mechanical instruments, passed away in the usage. So it does not mean that anymore. And the psalm in the New Testament phraseology is an Old Testament song, psalm, or a composition having that particular character. As we're going to be looking at all three of these different types of songs that we present to the Lord in worship, they are solemn for the purpose of that which is spiritual, in praise and worship to God, and no element is involved in it of entertainment. What is happening in churches today, and even some buildings that have Church of Christ on the outside, you have praise groups that stand up before the crowd, and it's basically nothing more than a choir, and they will then make a presentation in an entertainment type form of singing. That is not what singing means to us, and it's certainly not what a psalm means to us. When we look over in Amos, the sixth chapter, verses 3 through 5, in connection with the accompaniment of instrumental music, God says this to Amos, Amos 6, verses 3 through 5. Woe to you who put far off the day of doom, who cause the seat of violence to come near, who lie on beds of ivory, stretch out on your couches, eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of your stall. He's talking to a people that were his that have now sinned and feel comfortable in their lifestyle of sinning. And then he says, who sing idly to the sound of string instruments and invent for themselves musical instruments like David. I will submit to you that was never the intention of God in the songs that were sung. It never was. And so that is the reason then that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 chapter and verse 15, I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also, because it is spiritual worship before God. And one of those songs, Jake, go ahead and come on up, have song number 10 pulled up for us, please. All verses of song number 10 is the law of the Lord, which is direct. I'm sorry. I have the wrong person. It says William right here. Thank you, William. Come on up. Which is from the 19th Psalm, verses 7 through 10, verse 10, serving, of course, as the chorus of this song. And so here we are. We are singing a psalm, and it is inspired words from God. Brother William, would you please lead that for us?
Let us...
The law of the Lord.
We also see, as instructed in Ephesians the 5th chapter and Colossians the 3rd chapter, that we are singing songs that are called hymns. Psalm 145 is titled David's Hymn. Not all hymns are inspired, as this particular hymn is, but rather they are to have that solemn, thoughtful, spiritual meaning that is given to them. When we look at the word hymn, it's a song of praise, an ode, in the general term for a song of any kind that gives praise unto God and counts him as our hero and our conqueror. It is also defined as a sacred song, showing its spiritual application that it is to have. In the Old Testament, much of the Psalms were patterned after the ancient Near East hymn, Psalms the 8th chapter, the 19th chapter, much of it, the 29th chapter, 33rd chapter, 46th chapter, and so on. The verb to sing a hymn occurs in Matthew 26:30, where we read earlier before, where Jesus went out and sang a hymn. Also, his companion passage, Mark 14, verse 26. The same Greek word is rendered to sing praise, as in Acts 16, verse 25, and Hebrews 2, and verse 12. The hymn which our Lord sang with the disciples of the Last Supper is generally supposed to be part of the Hallel, that relating to the 113th Psalm, verses 1 through 9. It was a name given to a number of psalms taken together and forming a devotional, with the thought, of course, of praise unto God. We need to have that attitude. Please bring up song number 69. Jack, would you please come forward in just a moment? You're going to be leading that song for us. We will glorify the King of Kings. It will be all the verses of that song. And that is a hymn where there is glorification that is given. The thought, of course, is spiritual. We can turn to passages that would relate that to us. And it is for that purpose that we sing hymns, to give glory unto God. Would you please then lead us in song number 69, Jack?
We will glorify.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
We are also to sing spiritual songs. And these may or may not be inspired. Again, if they're not in the Psalms, the words are not necessarily inspired, but they come from a scriptural background. They are sound and solemn type songs. It is supposed by some that Paul uses certain spiritual songs in fragments of hymns in his epistles, such as Ephesians 5 and verse 14, where Paul says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light," which was taken possibly from Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, in verse 1. When we think about these spiritual songs, they bring to our mind the thought of also edification, an understanding of what has been revealed to us. Just as Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16, Richie, would you please read that for us, please?
Where at? 1 Timothy 3:16.
1 Timothy 3:16.
Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, sing by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory.
So there we have some that would tie that in with Isaiah, the 9th chapter in verse 6, where Isaiah speaks to us and says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Again, that spiritual aspect that we have guidance and that we have direction in our life. In both instances of the use of the term spiritual songs, or rather songs, Paul adds the thought of spiritual to them, showing again that it is not contemporary music for the purpose of entertainment, but rather that which teaches us, that which builds us up, and that which edifies us. When we look in the 18th Psalm, the 18th Psalm, Sandy, verses 46 through 39. Psalm 18, verses 46 through 49. This is stated by the psalmist. Brother Sandy?
Starting what verse?
Verse 46 through 49.
The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who executes vengeance for me and subdues people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Surely you lift me up above those who rise up against me. You rescue me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name.
That is Psalm 15 in our book, which I did not choose for this evening. Spiritual songs, these odes, are premeditated and regular poetic compositions. whatever composition they come in, again, they are to be spiritual in connection with magnification of the Lord. We're going to be singing song number 624 in just a moment. Brother Wayman, would you please come on up? And that is A Beautiful Life. And we listen to the words of the song as this is sung, and we understand that this is spiritual in nature for the purpose of edification. So please, let's join in the singing of this song with this thought in mind. Song number 624, and we're singing verses 1, 2, and 4.
Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days, and I must go to meet the deed that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. To be a child of God each day, my light must shine along the
soul.
Life's evening sun
is sinking low.
A few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. While going down try to lift some traveler's love. I'll try to turn the night to day. Make flowers bloom along the way. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun.
And so we come together and we worship each time that we are here. And each time that we are here at this building, we sing these songs. Songs that are sometimes psalms, songs that are hymns, and songs that are spiritual songs. And in doing so, again, they are to be songs of praise unto God, thanksgiving unto Him, inspired words, thankfulness, and edification to our lives as children of God. And so we are to lift up our voices to God. Would you go ahead and call up song number 71, please? Our brother Robert, in just a moment, Robert, go ahead and come up, will be singing this song for us. I want to make mention, and so far we've done so well this evening, but have you ever been in a worship service where songs are sung and you can tell that the leader has not looked at the words and the meaning of the song? They're just singing the notes. And I'll just give you an example. The song Will Work. And have you ever heard that song sung something like this? Oh, land of rest for thee. And it gets down to the chorus. Will work. It sounds like you don't want to. Rather than looking at the words. Because as you remember, when we looked over in Ephesians the 5th chapter and also in Colossians the 3rd chapter, One of the elements of singing songs is teaching, it's instruction. And what we're doing in this joint participation, this fellowship of singing songs, we're teaching one another and we are urging one another on. And that's the reason that we look at the song. I'm going to ask the song leaders at some point in time, most of you have these smartphones. Whenever you lead singing sometime, I'm going to ask you to record the songs that you sing. And I think you'll be surprised just how drugged out some songs are. So I urge you to look at the words and sing in accordance with those particular words. And so before we sing this, the way that we are to be singing these songs, Brother Stephen, as you're going to be reading for us from John 4, 23 and 24, John 4, 23 and 24, is just as every other element of worship. It's not about the physical. Matter of fact, the physical is only incidental. We can be singing the songs to the best of our ability as far as the vocal part of it is concerned, and if our heart is not right with the Lord in connection with that song, we are sinning. And the same thing is true with every aspect of worship. The physical is only incidental, and this is the reason why, Brother Stephen, John 4, 23 and 24.
Yet the time is coming, and now is here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Indeed, the Father is looking for people like that to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
This is not the invitation time yet, but I want to ask, are we the type of people that God is looking for by the way that we sing our songs? Or are we going through the motion? Brother, if you would sing verses 1, 2, and 5 of song number 112. Brother Robert. I'm
one,
sorry,
two,
112.
Three.
It's 112.
No, 71.
No, 71.
Well, that's a shame. Hang on a moment.
112.
That's song number 71, all verses. I jumped a line. Part of being old.
Let us sing. There is none like Him, none can compare. No God is equal, no prince is heir. Lift up your eyes and see His great might. Soar like an eagle on wings of flight. Saints, lift your voices, lift up your gaze. Lift up your spirits, sing out His praise.
Lift up your spirits, sing out His
In a moment, we're going to be singing song number 45. Please verify that I have that right. 112. We still have not got there. Jake, you're 112. Thank you. 112. And in both of these songs, there's some emphasis that are to be made in the wording of the song. And here we have, awake and sing the song. And awake means that we recognize, of course, what it is that is being stated by the song, that we are being edified because of the wording of the song. And again, not just to hear the voices blend, and it's wonderful when it does. We cannot deny that. When the voices blend, it is, I think, as God intends it to be, that it is uplifting. But it also is about the words, and that we recognize what is being stated by the words. Would you come up, Jake, and sing that for us? Song number 112, verses 1, 2, and 5. Thank you.
No, so me, so awake and sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Wake every heart and every tongue to praise the Savior's name. Sing of His dying love.
Our invitation song is going to be song number 45. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. It's going to be led by Brother Warren. And there's an aspect of this particular song that looks to the 89th Psalm, verses 1 through 4. Brother Darrell, the 89th Psalm, verses 1 through 4. If you would read that for us, and then I'll make a few comments about the statements that are made in this psalm. Psalm 89, the first four verses.
I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known to all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations.
The reason that Christ Jesus came to this earth is not found in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Quite often that is given as the reason that Christ came to the earth. And there, of course, the writer says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. The reason for God placing us here upon this earth is not given in that verse. What's given in that verse is what we are to do since we are here. We're to fear God and keep His commandments, and that is the whole of what we do. It's much like what Jesus said in answer to the Pharisees when they asked Him, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. I'm using Mark the 12th chapter. And He says, the second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And really, it's an overview. It is the totality of all the revealed word to us that we have the love of God. But what we receive because of the love of God, and that's the reason we are here, is because of the love of God, is the mercy that we receive from Him. If you're not a child of God, and this is your last day on earth, and you've not come to the Lord in obedience to Him, by faith you've not come to Him, even though He asked or requires it of you. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And if you've not come to Him because you do not have that penitent attitude, you're not convicted, understand truly that you are, as we mentioned this morning, Romans 3 and verse 23, but also that call to change and to turn that is found in Acts 3rd chapter and verse 19 at the preaching of the gospel. If you've not come to Him in a commitment by naming His name, just as the Ethiopian nobleman did in Acts 8 chapter and verse 37, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you've not come to Him in obedience by being baptized for remission of your sins, that Jesus Christ Himself mentioned in Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be condemned. If you've not done that, in a very loving way, I want to tell you that you cannot expect mercy from God. But what you will have is what none of us want, not any individual on the face of this earth, whether they realize it or not, do not want what God will give those that are not His, and that is justice. But by becoming a child of God, we escape justice and we receive mercy. Think back. Because God ended life on this earth except for 8 souls at one time. That, of course, was with the ark. And God told Noah and his family to go inside that ark. And God shut the door. He didn't leave it to Noah. And the reason being is that God is judge. God shut that door, and the only place where mercy resided at that time on the face of the earth was inside that ark. Everyone else received justice. You don't want that. Those of us that are children of God in our worship, what does our worship mean to us? When we come here, is there a joy? Is it like the psalmist? I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Are we like the psalmist when he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to live in the or to dwell in the tents of the sinners? Is there joy? Is there anticipation? Can we not wait to hear God's Word? To sing praises unto Him through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? To study the Word that He has given? What does our worship mean to us? What do all these things that we've talked about mean to us? And if we are the type of people that God is looking for, John 4 and verse 23, we will recognize that we need to sing praises to our God, to glorify Him and to give thanks. Because He's offered to us mercy. Will you receive mercy from Him as we stand and as we sing?
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing.
I will sing.
I will sing.
I will sing.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever.
I will sing.
God, the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth
will I make known
Thy faithfulness. With my mouth
will I make known
Thy faithfulness to all generations. I sing of the mercies of
sing
of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Please be seated.